Side Radio in the afternoon, 11 minutes past 5. Guess who it is? It's Dave and Fionnuala. Some really interesting information has come out about the Suez Canal incident with the big ship. It is almost as long as the Empire State Building in New York is tall.
That's crazy. Like, how can you be expected to maneuver that? Like, in all seriousness.
400 meters. Now, see, what I thought happened was it went sideways and then it wasn't able to reverse back and go forward and reverse back. The ship itself is actually longer than the Suez Canal is wide, and 'tis barged on both sides.
Oh, great.
So yeah, it has side arsed into the Suez Canal and it is stuck in sand one side and the both. One of the worries they're now having is that the middle of the vessel is floating, and they're afraid of cracking in the centre.
Oh, for God's sake.
Because there's a lot of stuff on board. 400 metres long, 205 metres wide. There's 150 ships now stuck in the aquatic traffic jam. 10 billion worth of fuel and products stuck in that traffic jam. Some people are asking, well, can they not go around now or should they set sail? If that decision is made, you're talking 12 to 13 days put onto your journey.
Yeah, so it's not just a matter of, oh yeah, a couple of hours or even a couple of days. Yeah, it is. It's a big commitment. I'm just thinking when you say, yeah, now 150 ships added, is it not a case that anyone who was planning to set off, would they not kind of hold off until this was rectified? Like, or, you know, I have no understanding or appreciation of the logistics involved here, but I'm just thinking, if you were aware, you knew you had to make your ship's journey, would you not be like, I'll just wait until this gets resolved?
It's hard to comprehend because some of us, before we set off on our journeys, say in usual times, will know there's going to be a traffic jam at Bohrna Drive, there's going to be a traffic jam on one of the roundabouts in Drogheda, could be the Polestar roundabout in Letterkenny, and you anticipate that. But when you're heading off 10 days in advance and knowing there's going to be a traffic jam 10 days in advance.
Yeah, so these people were already en route, this wasn't their start. Yeah, fair enough.
And also, if you're setting off now and it's going to take you 10 days to the Suez Canal, do you play with a gamble and go, well, geez, hopefully it'll be cleared up by then in 10 days' time? It's, I've never come even near to thinking about that situation.
All of this to say that it honestly is such a mortifying mistake and mess up, and I don't want to, I'm not piling on anyone in particular, because you can't just say, oh, one person is responsible for this, and you know, we'll find out in due course exactly everything that goes on, but it is mortifying.
It did inspire some brand new technology that we're bringing to the show today, and it is
the scale of mortification.
It's a very simple piece of technology. Artificial intelligence. People think, oh, it's overtly complicated. Nobody would be able to create it in their bedroom or in their office at home. Here's how it works. You tell the scale of mortification a story, and then it gives you a rating. So, scale of mortification. You block one of the most important trade routes in the world with a 400-meter ship, and the whole world is looking at you. How would you calculate that?
11!
So that's an 11 on the scale of mortification. Okay. The highest it can go. Would you like to tell the scale of mortification a story?
I mean,
and see what it rates it.
Okay. What have I done? I've done many embarrassing things. I think the one that I cringe about the most and that pops into my head the most, and I really, I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, right? Because it does involve...
This is going to be...
It does involve a wake.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was at the family home.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and I didn't know this family particularly well. It was kind of an acquaintance situation.
Yeah, I understand.
So I wasn't really familiar. And I went in, and when I went in, someone said to me, oh, they're just around the corner there. And I went in and there was a line of people.
A line of people.
And whatever possessed me in that moment, I thought these people, as you would, you know the way you'd be queuing up to pay your respects, it was in a funeral parlour.
Yes.
So I was like, grand, obviously not going to barge past them, I'll just wait here. Stood in line, and I stood there for, I'd say, about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Until one of them turned to me and said, we're actually with the family. We're the mourners.
Wow. So you were queuing up behind the mourners thinking they were queuing up to offer their sympathies, but you should have been offering your sympathies to them.
So I then had to, like, try and not to pass out from the mortification and then turn around and be like, oh God, like, I'm very sorry for your troubles, and start that spiel going along, having stood beside, as they were surely looking at each other going, who is your one? Like, what is she?
Just throw out the hand, please. They thought you were a weirdo. Scale of mortification.
Eight.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it comes back into my head every so often. I'm like, that was just so bad.
Would you like to tell the scale of mortification a story and see where it goes on the scale? 087-1-102-107. Fanula got an 8. The Suez Canal incident gets a
11.
Let's see what you could get on the scale of mortification.
The scale of mortification.
Some artificial intelligence been brought onto the show today. You tell the scale of mortification a story and it gives you a rating. Fanula got an 8 for going to awake to sympathise with people queued up behind them. It was like, oh, queue isn't moving. Turned out they were mourners too.
I shouldn't laugh because honestly not a place to be laughing, but very embarrassing.
Jonathan called his teacher mother.
Yeah.
Scale of mortification?
7.
I would have been a bit kinder on that. I would have given that about a 5.
Do you think that low? I would have actually said 1 or 2 higher.
Really?
Because depending on primary or secondary school, but I can only imagine that. In class?
I'd say anything from 4th class upwards, you're like, that's scarlet for you.
Coming out of the shopping centre, jumping into someone's car, but it not being your mum and dad? Where does that go?
6.
I would, personally, I'd say that's higher than calling the teacher ma'am, but yeah, it depends how far you go along with it or how long it takes you to realise.
Might have to tweak some things on the scale of mortification. Go ahead, please tell the artificial intelligence your story.
Well, mine wasn't me, but it was my mother. She minds a child for a woman and her husband, and one evening when that woman came to collect her child, my mum noticed she looked pregnant, so she would be a slim woman, you know, and always has been. So my mum said, oh my goodness, I didn't realise you were expecting. And that woman turned around and said, no, I'm not. I'm not expecting.
11!
That's up there with the Suez Canal.
Mortifying
blocking.
Oh. As the Suez Canal. Oh, God almighty.
Do you reckon the government needs to take out ads to be like, would you please not ever assume someone is pregnant?
Ever.
Ever, ever, ever.
Ever. Ever. I swear to God. I would hate to think that I'd be in that situation. But then do you come across as utterly ignorant? If they are with the big bump and you're just going, any news? No, no, no. And they're like, look, look, look. And I'm like, what? I can't see anything.
No, I think all you have to do in that situation, well, A, on that, I'd nearly prefer to be thought of as ignorant rather than be mortified by getting it wrong. But on the flip side, then you just have to go like, how are you? How are you doing? And, you know, that opens it up for them to be like, well.
Any periods of sickness at all in the morning time. Do you ever get that and just try and pull it out that way? Tripping up the 2 steps in a Starbucks during rush hour after a long day in college in front of everyone. I ate the floor, so I did. Ruth, let's see what that gets.
8.
Yeah. Because you have to try and laugh it off, don't you? And if you don't have anyone there to laugh with, it's even more embarrassing.
If you didn't leave your name in the text, then you shall be left anonymous. So I worked in a big department store a few years ago and my mam was the manager. Handy. It's probably more difficult working with a family member as manager, but I couldn't resist the temptation. It was the height of the Christmas rush with queues out the door from the tills. There I was on the tills, serving someone, and I wanted to catch my manager's attention. So I shouted, Mammy! Mammy! And realised where I was. Everyone looked at me and it went quiet. Morto. Scale of mortification?
9.
Yeah, it deserves that in a packed shop at Christmas time. Mammy! Mammy!
the only saving grace is if you happen to look really like your mom, and even then, it's still confusing.
Still a bit weird.
Yeah.
Shouting across from colleagues. We'll put one more through this today. I was going for an eye test a couple of years ago. The optician asked me, was there any people in my family with eyesight trouble? You know, congenital, hereditary. I said my mum had cataracts. And then I replied, would the cataracts be genitals? Meaning congenital, is that the correct term?
Or even genetic, I wonder, was that what they were going for?
Basically, they asked the optician, would the cataracts be genitals in the family? He sorted off, or sort of laughed it off, but mortified. Where would that go? Saying to your optician, looking them dead in the eye, would cataracts be genitals? Yeah, I think it deserves that. Saying genitals directly, eyes locked with your opticians, it's a 10.
Yeah. iRadio in the afternoon. With Dave and Fenora. Hey! iRadio in the afternoon.
With Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 on iRadio.